This is Fresh Air. My guest, James Fogle, has spent 35 of his 54 years in prison. Now, for the first time, people on the outside can read his writing. There's a good reason why they might want to. His unpublished novel, Drugstore Cowboy, about four junkies who robbed drugstores to support their habits, was the basis of last year's acclaimed film of the same name. The National Society of Film Critics gave the film awards for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay. Fogle's novel, Drugstore Cowboy, was published today by Delta. The novel was written in prison in 1977. Journalist Dan Yost showed the manuscript to film director Gus Van Sant, and together they adapted it into a screenplay. We arranged for Fogle to phone us collect from the Washington State Penitentiary at Walla Walla.
I'm in a day room down in the bottom of the BMU unit here in this Washington State Penitentiary, and it's kind of noisy. You probably hear some noise in the background. There's guys playing dominoes and different card games and stuff. And they're not really paying much attention to me, and I ain't paying much attention to them, hopefully. Or, you
know. Is Drugstore Cowboy going to be in the prison library?
It is now. I just donated a couple copies to them.
They weren't going to buy it themselves?
Oh, they probably would have, but they dinged. I know this library woman here pretty good, and she cornered me up, and I gave her a couple of them.
Is Drugstore Cowboy based on your own experiences? Did you used to support a habit by robbing drugstores?
Yes, I did, for 20 years.
But were you out of prison for 20 years?
No, but every time I got out, I did that, I got a pharmacy robbery now that I'm doing this 12 years on. Well, I'm doing 22-year sentence. I got about 12, almost 12 of it in.
What was the robbery? What happened?
Just a pharmacy robbery. We went in and robbed it and held it and took the drugs and got away,
Was it armed robbery?
Yes, right. The police were following us at the time that we did it. We got away anyway and went back to Wisconsin. And later on, I got busted in a burglary of a pharmacy back there, and my partner got killed when we were coming out of it.
How come you're in a maximum security prison?
Well, I'm not right now. I'm in a medium facility right outside the maximum, but I was in the maximum for better than 10 years.
I don't understand, though. How did you get into the maximum security prison in the first place? I mean, why maximum in the first place?
Well, I've always been in maximum. I always escape if I ever get a chance. Whenever I get a chance, if I get a lot of time going, I usually escape. I escaped out of the county jail on my beef back in Wisconsin. In fact, almost every case, every sentence I've escaped at one time or another.
In all the armed robberies that you committed,
right.
Did you ever actually hurt or, wound or kill anyone?
No, I never did. And I never did a lot of robberies. Mostly I was a burglar. I was a crash-and-dash burglar. I'd spot and see where it was in them drugstores, and I'd just come early in the morning and crash the glass out and run in and grab it and run out. Whenever I robbed, I was really pretty desperate, or there was a lot there that I couldn't get no other way or something. Well, I'm not much for that. And I'll tell you, I know everything's got to be right, and I'm not one to hurt. I'd rather shoot myself than shoot somebody in one of them places. Because when you do that, you're putting yourself out of, not only are you hurting them and yourself and you're putting a lot of heat, you're putting yourself out of business, you're going to have problems, And a lot of these guys in here are so dumb. They've been watching that TV so much and they see all that different crap on there, and they say, man, I'd have shot that guy. I'd have killed him, Man, if I'd have did that, I'd have never survived past my 18th birthday. I'd have been on death row 10 times or something. But the trick is to get in there and get in and get out without hurting anybody, without creating all them problems. And I, for some reason, I was smart enough to realize that at an early age, and that probably helped me all throughout my life,
Your novel, Drugstore Cowboy, is dedicated to all the poor junkies who fell around you that summer of 1974. What happened in the summer of 1974?
Well, I was living in this apartment, me and that Maybelle Lincoln. And
she was your girlfriend?
Yeah, she was my girlfriend. And there was about seven of us junkies living in this little teeny apartment. We'd go out foraging every day, trying to get enough to keep going each day, you know. And all of them are dead now. The little old man, it was a one-legged old man that owned that apartment. He died of an overdose. And another guy in that same apartment, Red Robbie, he shot a bunch of stuff and went crazy in a bathtub and beat his head against the back of the bathtub until he knocked himself out and drowned it in the bathtub. And another one of them guys died of leukemia. And another one committed suicide and on the way to the hospital died of a heart attack. And it just went on and on like that. And another one got killed by some guys coming to that Bobby Emmett. He was selling some stuff, and some people came and killed him and took his stuff, you know. And they were all really close friends of mine, you know. Maybelle got murdered by some lump, you know, in a hotel room. So I just thought, you know, nobody ever going to remember them people, you know what I mean? You know, they were junkies, and and so I thought, I always tried to do right by everybody, you know, and I never was really sleazy or sorry, you know, and in a lot of respects, I always kept up my word, and I kept up my end, and I never snitched off my friends. I always did my own time, and I think maybe them people are up there kind of helping me along or something, you know, because they knew I stood up for them, and they stood up for me, you know, and who knows, you know.
So in even though you've spent most of your adult life in prison, in a lot of ways, you're the one who survived.
Right. And probably that's the reason I did, too. I probably never would have survived had I not spent all these years in prison. I know that I'd really be incapacitated somewhere or another if I hadn't. You're right. It's saved me. I was that type of person, you know, that probably prison saved me, yes.
Did you believe in hexes like your character in Drugstore Cowboy did? He always believed, like, if someone put a hat on a bed, that it was bad luck and it was a hex that was going to follow them.
Well, I overdid them characters a little bit, and I over-exemplified that. But when you're running every day, when you're a dope fiend like that, and you're just out running every day committing crimes every day, you haven't got time to plan them out and do this and that. And you're so involved with the element of luck, you know, that pretty soon you start believing, because you have to, you know. You have to have some luck riding with you. You're not going to last, you know. And you can get caught up in all that. And these friends of mine that, actually, when I wrote that story, I wasn't really writing about myself. I was writing about a couple of friends of mine. And even then, it wasn't really them. It was a kind of a composite of two or three friends of mine and the things that they had done, this and that.
Was it in prison that you started getting interested in reading and in writing?
Yes, it was. My whole family is storytellers. My mother's a heck of a storyteller. And my dad wasn't too bad, but my dad had a strange way of doing it. He always left the end off for you to put your own imagination and tell it yourself, you know, to yourself. But anyway, in prison, before they had TVs, you're always sitting around these cells, and to pass a time line, you're always telling these stories back and forth, tripping, they call it, you know. And then I did. I started reading a lot. For the first 20 years, I probably read a book a day. You know, I usually have pretty good libraries, and I go to the library and check out four or five books, and I just gnaw my way through them. And pretty soon I started studying them to see why different ones were better than other ones, and the mechanics of it, more or less. And then I started getting the idea that I wanted to try to write some. And then I started trying, and I could see that it wasn't quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. But each time I did one, they started getting a little better, you know. And even then, in the end, I never really thought that they were as good as some people thought they were. But I had hopes that someday that I was going to be able to accomplish that.
How did you become a junkie?
Well, I've been in prisons all my life, and I was over at McNeil Island in 1957 to 1962. And at that time they were sending, it was a big thing going on, just like it is right now. You know, they were given all kinds of time, and they were sending them away, and they weren't getting no parole, and they were really down on junkies right then, you know. And a 1956 law came in, I think it was called the Harrison Act or something anyway. But it ended up all my friends were junkies, you know. Yeah, I was in prison with them, and they had 10-man cells over there. And everybody I knew was a junkie, and you just sit, it's catching, you know. That's what a lot of people don't really realize, probably, is how catching that is. You're talking to a junkie, and he's talking about it, he almost glows, you know. And it's awful easy to ride right in on that trip, you know. And that's what I did. I got out, and I was just trying to make a living. I started burglarizing them drugstores, just trying to survive, you know. And then I seen them people, and they all wanted that so desperately. And I thought, why do they want it so desperately? Why, you know, there must really be something to it. And then I started getting involved with it myself, you know.
Did you start using again each time you got out of prison?
Yes, usually just as soon as I got out. The last time I got out, I didn't really. I went over and I went to work, and I worked for about a year, and then I just threw up my hands and went back. And for about a year, but every other time I ever got out, I just went immediately, you know, right out and went right to work on them. You know.
Were you ever afraid of getting sent back to prison, or didn't you care?
Well, I've been in prison so much. It's really my home, you know. That's the one thing about these big sentences, you know. Pretty soon, men, you know, they get to thinking how tough they are to endure what they have. And pretty soon, they start taking a pride in it. You know what I mean? And pretty soon, they think that they're slick and everybody else is dumb, you know. And everything gets all turned around, you know. And that's what happens, you know. And people start living for these prisons, you know.
Let me describe what you say about your character Bob in your novel Drugstore Cowboy. You wrote, "He always did his time with grace. He didn't fight it. He didn't let it beat him. Doing time to Bob was just a good way to regain his health and build up his veins by lifting weights and getting exercise."
That's true, and especially down in California, all them dope fiends are health freaks. But as soon as they hit the joint, they all start lifting weights and running and building up their health for when they get out for some more dope.
You were up for parole in July, weren't you?
Right. Well, I made parole in this state, but I got another. In fact, I also went up for parole in Wisconsin in October, but I haven't heard what's happening yet. They take about a month to tell you they're going to do. But I should know here within a week or so just exactly what's going to happen. And one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to go get out here before Christmas and go to this halfway house over in Olympia, or I'm going to go back to Wisconsin, and I got 1 year left on that sentence back there. You know.
So you think you won't have to serve out your remaining 12 years?
Well, back in Wisconsin, I got a 22-year sentence, but you only have to do 12-4 on it with your good time. And I've only got I've got less than a year to do on that sentence.
I see.
But in this sentence here, it's a little different. And I had to make parole on it. Well, I have to make parole on that one to get out a year early, too. But both these sentences are running at the same time, is what's happening. You know? They all started in 79.
Well, let me quote something that you say about drugs in Drugstore Cowboy. And this is the main character, Bob, talking, and he's talking to a drug counselor, and he says to her, "Did you ever stop to think that some people hurt so much naturally, are so depressed with life and their role in it, that they can't stand it without an antidote that will bring them some kind of relief? They need something to relieve them of the pressures of their everyday lives." Was that your feeling about yourself?
Yeah, it was. When I was a kid, I had a knot right in the middle of my chest, and it always hurt, you know. And I've grown out of that now, and in a way, I didn't really understand it. Everybody didn't have it, but then I looked at other people, and I seen other people, and they all always seemed so happy all the time, and they seemed to have something that I didn't have, you know. And I was always looking for that, probably. And you know, when I was a kid, I can never remember it being sunshine. It seemed like it was raining every day. I can never remember, almost, you know. Well, I've been in institutions since I was 12 years old in this state here, you know.
If you get out soon, do you think you'd be able to handle it? And I ask that knowing that every other time you've gotten out, you started using again and robbing again and have ended up back in prison.
Right. I know it. That's the big question. I think I am. This is the first time in my life that I ever got out and had anything, you know. Mostly I got out, I didn't have anything, so I didn't really have anything to lose. And I had to go to stealing to get something to survive, you know. Usually one time I went out and went to work, you know, I had a job right to go to, and that's the only time in my life that I ever really went out, and I blew it, but I was younger, too. I'll tell you something. I'm 54 years old now, you know. And when you're a kid, when you're a young kid like that, you're looking for you're picking 1,000 ways trying to kill yourself, you know, with fast cars and drugs. And just look at all the kids, you know, that just, I mean, from the time you're a little kid, man, 2 years old, seemingly you're looking for some way to hurt yourself all the way through your life, you know. Then you get to be about 50 years old, and you turn around, you start working the other way. You say, wait a minute, or 40 maybe, you know. I was probably a late comer here, you know. You start saying, whoa, now you start looking for ways of increasing your longevity, you know. And that's where I'm at now. I haven't smoked a cigarette in 10 years. I don't drink any more coffee than I have to. I don't want to eat no sugar. I go out and run every morning. And I'm on a whole different trip, you know, more or less. And I just write about that stuff. Now, I don't do it anymore. I have the chances to use it. If I wanted to use some narcotics right now, I could, but I don't. You know, that isn't me anymore, you know.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
All right. Thanks to you, Terry.
James Fogel spoke to us from the Washington State Penitentiary at Walla Walla. His novel, Drugstore Cowboy, was published today. The movie adaptation is running throughout November on the Showtime cable network.